So we're going to hear further from Canto 10, Chapter 36, the slaying of Arishtasura. And we'll start with Jiva Goswami's commentary from Brahma Samhita, text 4, which reads, so this is now a further description about Vraja, the Dham. The world of that eternal realm, Gokula, is the hexagonal abode of Krishna. Its petals are the abodes of the gopis, who are part and parcel of Krishna, to whom they are most lovingly devoted and are similar in essence. The petals shine beautifully like so many walls. The extended leaves of that lotus are the garden-like dham, i.e.,
spiritual abode of Sri Radhika, the most beloved of Krishna. Now that's the translation of the verse, and here's Jiva Goswami's commentary. The surrounding features of that abode is described in this half verse. The word kinjalka here means the outer petals and tad amsanam means, quote, his parts and parcels, who are naturally full of love for him. All this describes the realm named Gokula or Gokulakya, which is also described in these words of Shukadeva Goswami. Guess what? It's our verse, 10:36:15. Translation. In this way, Lord Krishna killed the bull demon Arishta, then, accompanied by Balaram, and glorified by his relatives, Lord Krishna, who is a festival of bliss for the gopis' eyes, entered the village of Gokula. The words Patrani Shriyam means, quote, the leaves of that lotus are the garden abodes of Sri Radha and the other gopi lovers of Lord Krishna, unquote. Because the gopis are specifically described in the mantra written in this abode, it should be understood that the word Shriyam here refers to the gopis. Among the gopis, Sri Radha is the leader. This is described in the following words of Sri Gautamiya Tantra, quote, the transcendental goddess Sri Mati Radharani is the direct counterpart of Sri Krishna. She is the central figure for all the goddesses of fortune. She possesses all the attraction to attract the all-attractive personality of Godhead. She is the primeval internal potency of the Lord. Still his commentary, Sri Radha is also described in these words of Matsya Purana, quote, Sri Radha is the goddess who rules Vrindavan forest. In the Rik Parishishta, don't know what that is, it is said, Lord Sri Krishna always stays with Sri Radha. Sri Radha always stays with Lord Krishna. The word, this is text 4, Goshta, here means, quote, the place where many large extended leaves and petals meet. because it is like a great unbroken lotus flower, and also because it is the abode, stha, of the Surabhi cows, go. The land of Gokula is also known as Goshta. Shall I read that again? I'll read it again. The word Goshta here means, quote, the place where many large extended leaves and petals meet. So think of a lotus, and there's petals, and where the petals and the leaves meet, that's Goshta. Because it is like a great unbroken lotus flower, and also because it is the abode, stha, of the Surabhi cows, go, the land of Gokula is also known as Goshta. The abode of Gokula is also described in these words in the scriptures, doesn't give the reference. Quote, Lord Krishna's abode is a thousand petal lotus flower. Many goddesses of fortune reside on that flower's leaves, and the gopas reside in the petals in the middle of that lotus. I worship Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of all transcendental potencies, who also resides in that lotus flower. In this verse, this text 4, Brahma Samhita, the reading, Go Shankai, is correct. An alternate reading, Go Sankhya, has the same meaning. They both mean, quote, with the gopas. And we're probably going to hear how many gopas. We heard about that last night. One followed by 17 zeros. That was yesterday evening. That many gopas. Or that was calves. Ten million gopas and one followed by 17 zeros. That's how many calves. This is confirmed, so that with the gopas. This is confirmed in the words of Amara Kosha, that's a dictionary. Gopal, Gosankhya, Godugdha, Abhira, and Balava are synonyms for the word gopa. Text 4, the word kavatai, or within the gates, here means, quote, in the midst of the lotus petals, unquote. The phrase, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of all transcendental potencies, here refers to Sri Krishna. And here's a further taking that same text, further commentary on that same text 4. The tan tat kinjal kam tad shanam tat patrani shriyam api. Translation. Around the pericarp. Who is a biologist or who knows what the word pericarp means? I can tell you what it means. It's that another word is stamen. It's the protrusion in a lotus that sticks up. And it's flat at the top. That's what it looked like, and so it's set in the middle. It's like Mount Sumeru in Bhumandala. That's the pericarp of Bhumandala. So around the pericarp is a wall with spires, like stamens. So those are filaments. And guess what? The Bhumandala also has those. Those are trees on top of mountains that stick way up. And if you're going to build the universe, why not build it like your home? Goloka. Okay, so in the place are also various divisions and bowers for the gopis, which are like petals. In Jiva Goswami's commentary. After the Dham of Krishna has been described, the surrounding areas or coverings are described in one line. Kinjalka means filaments. But in this case, it refers to the surrounding wall covered with turrets or spires, like filaments. Angshanam refers to other areas within the Dham where great devotees who have similar emotions reside. They will have emotions suitable for the place already mentioned, Gokula. Shukadeva Goswami has described the favorable emotions as follows. Same text, text 15 of chapter 36. Having killed the bull demon, Arishta, he, who was a festival for the gopis' eyes, entered the cowherd village with Balaram. After killing Kamsa, Krishna himself says to Nanda, quote, now you should all return to Braja, dear father. We shall come to see you, our dear relatives, who suffer in separation from us, as soon as we have given some happiness to your well-wishing friends. That's chapter 45. After killing Kamsa, Nanda's also there in Mathura, and Krishna's requesting him to return. The petals, this is commentary now, the petals of the lotus, patrani, the petals of the lotus, patrani, or the special groves and bowers, belong to the dearmost gopis such as Radha. The women mentioned, Shriyam, refer only to the gopis, since they are specifically mentioned in the 18-syllable mantra. Our Gopal mantra. We'll touch on that at the end. Radha and others are described as follows in Gautamiya Tantra. Quote, dear Radha, filled with thoughts of Krishna, is the Supreme Goddess. She is the embodiment of all women, possesses all beauty, and is the supreme bewilderer. Matsya Purana says, in Varanasi, Vishalakshi presides. In Puri, Vimala presides. Bhaktisiddhanta was given the name Vimala Prasad in his birth in Puri, Bhimala. In Dwaraka, Rukmini presides, and in Vrindavan, Radha presides. Matsya Purana. I'll read it again. So, she presides. She's the president of Vrindavan. She rules. In Varanasi, Vishalakshi presides, in Puri, Vimala presides, in Dwaraka, Rukmini presides, and in Vrindavan, Radha presides. Rik Parishishta says, Madhava is revealed to the people through Radha, and Radha is revealed through Madhava. If one has more specific questions, one can see Krishnarchana Deepika. Apparently that's another text that Jiva Goswami has written where he expands on this. I'm unfamiliar with it. B. Besides the groves of the gopis, one should understand that there are roads at the joining of the profuse petals or groves, because the profuse petals are groves, and cowsheds at the end of the roads, because this lotus is actually Gokula. It includes cowsheds and other things related to the cows. In another place, there is this description. Doesn't give the source. At the edge of the thousand-petaled lotus are scattered gopis and groups of cowherd men. There, the doors at the edges, which are all covered with flower pollen, there are doors at the edges, which are all covered with flower pollen. There, the Supreme Person, the embodiment of truth, whose powers are revealed through his own sakis, whose powers are revealed through his own shaktis, resides. I worship that person. Go, Sankhyai, is the correct version. This refers to the cowherd men. Amarakosha Dictionary says the following words are synonyms. He does it again. Gopal, Gosankhya, Godung Abhira Balaba. The Parama Purusha is Krishna, whose powers are revealed through his manifold energies. Akila Shaktya Prakatita Prabhava. The word Kavatai indicates that there are doors or gates to all entrances to the pericarp of the lotus. Now, these verses are part of what we're reading because we're speaking on text 15 of chapter 36, and research showed that verse is referred to in Jiva Goswami's commentary on verse 4. That's why we're reading this. And also, in the previous texts, there's this, where was Arishta killed? And he, after killing Arishta, he came back to Braja, the village, and everyone's going, yay, nice going. So, Govardhan Hill, which is near where Arishta was killed. Arishta was killed near where Govardhan Hill is. It's, you know, some, there's some commentaries, there's some, not commentaries, there's some texts that make a one-to-one correlation between Arishta Kund and Shyamakund. Others, Arishta Kund is over there, Shyamakund is over here. That's, we read yesterday morning, that's the rendering that Vishwanath Chakravarti gives, and that's commonly what we hear. Shyamakund is Shyamakund, and there's over there is Arishta Kund. So, the special, we say, and within the holy name is everything. And everything is a lot. Not only Nijasarva Shaktis, but everything else. The form of Krishna, the abode of Krishna, the Leela of Krishna, the entourage of Krishna, and it's all packed up in that nice little sound vibration, Krishna. And so how big is that sound vibration? Well, Krishna, it seems pretty small, but it's unlimitedly big. And yesterday evening, we discussed this fact. The chapter 12 is Krishna's taking the cowherd boys for a special picnic, etc. And it gives numbers of how many cowherd boys and how many cows. And how do you fit all those, the question is raised, how do you fit all those calves in the dimension that's given of what's the dimension of Braja or Vrindavan forest? Because that they were just kids. They weren't going far away. They were right there in Vrindavan forest. And so what the dimension doesn't fit, or the calves don't fit. I mentioned this yesterday, mentioned it again. I can't recall the numbers, but Sariputta explains in different times the same point. The dimensions of the Dham are not to be taken within the view of our senses any more than we can, with our senses, the material senses, we can understand the fullness of the name. We can understand the abode of the Lord, the form of the Lord, the pastime of the Lord. We can't. You have to have higher consciousness, and then you can perceive things that have higher realms of reality. And being a mathematician, he takes the example of, in the Bhagavatam, maybe some of you that like to read the Bhagavatam know, there's a number given for how many bodyguards Ugrasena had. It's a really big number, like a super big number. And then Sariputta did the math, because he's a mathematician. If you put crowd people together, then they'll occupy so many square feet, you know, each person. And then crowded and crowded. So if you pave the whole Earth planet, they still wouldn't fit. And in Dwarka, they fit. That was just the bodyguards of Ugrasena. So, it's myth. You just dismiss it. That's one option. Some people do that. Or, the spirit, the Dham, has a higher dimensional reality to it. And if you're a devotee, no problem. Nijasarva Shakti is all of Krishna's potencies are within his name, and Bhagavan has unlimited potency, so he can expand and he can contract. No problem. There was a celebrated question-answer once devotees asked Prabhupada, how did Krishna go all the way from Nandagram to Kaliagat? And then the messenger went from Kaliagat all the way back to Nandagram and brought the residents of Nandagram, Yasoda and Nanda and others, to Kaliagat. And it all happened like within the course of a day. Because, you know, get in a car and try to, how did it work? How did Krishna traverse the whole of Vrindavan in one day? You get the idea. And Prabhupada's answer was, Vrindavan is like a lotus, and sometimes the lotus opens and sometimes it closes. That was his answer. Didn't go into all of what I'm speaking about. In the spiritual realm, time is quite flexible and space is quite flexible. And it opens and closes, or time moves like this or moves like that, according to Krishna's indication. A moment can seem like 12 years or more, and actually the number is more than 12 years or more. A moment. Now it feels like, but you know, that's what their experience is. Or, you know, the rasa dance of the gopis. How long was it? A night of Brahma. That's a long time. for them it felt like a passing of a flesh. So, how to process that with our little binary processor? Doesn't fit. But it's the potencies of Krishna are expanding and moving. So space and time, very flexible. No problem. So the tract of land Vrindavan, it has its dimension, but it's actually unlimited. Just like Krishna is unlimited, just like Krishna showed that the example we read last night, Krishna showed to Brahma. Millions of universes, it gives some, you know, number. Right there, right in front of Brahma. Now how are you going to fit that? All that, not just one universe, but so many universes in one spot. I mean, it doesn't work. But Krishna has such potency. Or in the mouth of Krishna, Mother Yashoda, twice she saw the universe. Doesn't say unlimited universes, but you know, one universe inside the mouth of a little boy. It doesn't compute. But he has such potency that he can do that. And he can reveal that to his devotee and then withdraw the vision. Boom. He has unlimited and say it negatively. If God did not have, then there's something he cannot do and then he's not God. Because that's what the Mayavadis say. No potencies. Because if you have potencies, then you have two. But you gotta have one, because that's our doctrine. There's only one thing. So no potencies. That's God. There's no potencies. If there's something he doesn't have, then he's not God. And if he's God, unlimited and inconceivable potencies. Business finished. Because he can do anything he wants. Well, that's convenient. You devotees can say that we don't just like invent things, but when he does things that we know from scripture he does, that's the authority, that's the pramana, then it's just moving his potencies, no problem. So one other thing, and that is this hexagonal abode. You'll find as the Brahma Samhita unfolds, this hexagonal abode is also found in the mantra, the hexagonal mantra. And the hexagonal mantra, if you read Brahma Samhita commentary by Bhaktisiddhanta, you'll find that's the first mantra that Brahma received that he meditated upon while meditating upon the yantra. So what, you know, we're not so much familiar with meditating on a yantra. What's meditating on a yantra? Yantra, literally it means a machine, but yantra, the application of yantra in worship is just like you see in Mayapur. There's Lord Nrsingadev, there's Prahlad, and then there's these two brass plates in front. Those are yantras, the Nrsinga yantras. And it's a yantra, in that case, is a two-dimensional depiction of spiritual reality. It's used in worship. Now, in South India, it's still used, and Brahma used it. It doesn't give elaboration, it's just, you know, 61 texts. But he was meditating on his yantra, that's the spiritual abode of Krishna. And that spiritual abode of Krishna is manifest in the mantra. Mantra meditation along with the yantra. Just like those of you that heard the class that we spoke on this past Sunday at 1 o'clock to the Farmington Hills group. There was mention of a temple in Hampi where one of the Sri Vaishnava Acharyas established a temple of Hanuman, and the temple deity is a yantra. It's a hexagonal figure that has bija mantras around, and the image of Hanuman that he saw in his meditation 12 days in a row, and then the yantra, the image that he made, it disappeared. Then he prayed for Hanuman to appear before him, and he appeared in that same image that was in his meditation. And Madhvacharya had previously in a dream instructed him, 220 years after his departure, to make a temple. So he made a temple, and the deity is carved in stone, the very same stone that he placed the image of Hanuman that he saw in his meditation. Then Hanuman appeared. So it's a yantra. It's a hexagonal figure with 12 monkeys around the side, around the circumference, indicating the 12 days that Hanuman appeared, one holding the tail and the next one holding the tail and going around. So that's the deity. We showed the image of the deity. All that is just to say it's through mantra, we have the very same process. It's not a different process. We're kind of like consciousness-wise, you know, somewhere down here. And the consciousness of Brahma, composing Brahma Samhita, is with Krishna. And he achieved that by his meditation on mantra, which he received from two sources, but ultimately from Krishna. And he meditated on the mantra, and he realized the abode of Krishna and all these details in really simple Sanskrit phrases, which Jiva Goswami made his commentary in Sanskrit. Later, Bhaktivinoda made his commentary paraphrasing from Jiva Goswami's Sanskrit in Bengali, and very kindly Bhaktisiddhanta made it available in English. Very special kind of English, Bhaktisiddhanta kind of English. But it's all there. You can look at what Bhaktisiddhanta wrote, and you can look at what Jiva Goswami wrote in the translation into English, and it's the same thing. I mean, the way of expressing is personality specific, but it's the abode of Krishna, and so many other topics that are in Brahma Samhita. This is the abode of Krishna. And, you know, its relationship with chapter 36 is after killing Arishta, Krishna went back to Braja. So this is what Braja is, revealed in Brahma Samhita more than once. So we have the very same process, and fortunately we have scriptures along with mantra, and the scriptures have commentary, fortunately, so we can have a glimpse of what the scripture is saying. And, you know, we're to align ourselves with what scripture says along with chanting the mantra. So we have a clear picture of what the target is. And we're not there yet. We're chanting mantra and distracted. But, you know, the target is there. That's what the mantra reveals. Everything is there within the mantra. And the mantra revealed is the scripture. That's what Brahma Samhita is. And in this age of Kali, so many references, this is the process, is the chanting of the holy name, and the chanting of the holy name reveals everything. And here's some picture of everything that it reveals, the spiritual realm, which is beyond the range of the mind and the senses. But we can contact it through sound. And then the commentary on that sound. So we can, you know, set our compass straight and align ourselves with what the mantra is revealing, what the spiritual world is, where our original home and hopefully our destination, or we're moving closer to that destination. And in that destination, Krishna kills Arishtasura. Then he goes back to Braj and they have a nice time. He who is the festival of the eyes for the gopis comes back. And then after that, Krishna has Rasa dance in the evening. Because Arishta interfered, he interrupted the plan. So Krishna went back and completed the plan. So let's see if there's some discussion. Isn't it nice? Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna's killing of the Arishta demon.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I remember. In this, you talked about, you know, how Krishna, God can't be God if he doesn't have or can't do everything.
Say it again.
God cannot be God if, you know, he doesn't have everything.
Say it negatively or reverse. If there's something that God cannot do, then he's not God.
There's something that God cannot do. He's not God.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're when we talk about how Krishna has, like, you know, the six opulences, right? But in this case, does that mean that Krishna can also be, like, the most ugly or, like, the most...
Can he do what?
Can he be, like, the most ugly or, like, the most, like, the most
Can
weak?
He do what? Speak slowly. Can You're he young be? And you, young people speak real fast and they can't follow you much shame. At least my ears can't follow. The other young people probably can follow, but be kind on me.
Can he
be ugly? Is that what you said?
Yeah, because he has he is the most beautiful.
He can be a pig.
Okay.
He can, you know. But he was a beautiful pig. He can do anything. There's nothing. Here's a Stump the Swami question Prabhupada was asked one time. Swamiji, can Krishna create something that's so heavy he cannot lift it? It's a trick question. Because if he can't do it, then he's not God. And if he can't lift it, then he's not God. Trick question. Prabhupada immediately, yes, he can create something so heavy he can't lift it, and then lift it. He can do anything. Okay. Anybody in the room? Then we'll go to online. Yes.
Trying to understand, what is the purpose of yantra?
The purpose, I can't elaborate because it's not part of what we do. I can only repeat what I've understood from the commentaries. It's part of the process of worship to fix the mind on the destination, the abode of the Supreme Lord. You're worshiping the Supreme Lord in his deity form, or even without the deity form, mantra form, and the abode of the Lord is to help fix the mind on that which is his abode. It's a process or a procedure or a method, a system. For worship of the Supreme Lord. This is his abode in two-dimensional depiction. That's the purpose. Anyone? Yes, back.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Could you elaborate on the Gopal mantra which you briefly mentioned?
Could I do what?
Elaborate on the Gopal mantra. When you're talking about the gopis, you said you'll mention it towards the end.
You can read in the Brahma Samhita. It gives the mantra. But it's part of what Lord Brahma did to achieve what he achieved. This is before he started building the universe. He became well acquainted with the ocean of truth, in language of Bhaktisiddhanta. Through chanting a mantra, and it's the Gopal mantra, by name. In Brihat Bhagavatamrita, it's called the Madan Gopal mantra. It's the same mantra. And it's right there. You can read it. But it doesn't have the efficacy, just reading it, as one who receives it through proper diksha. And one receives it through proper diksha and properly meditates, it can reveal the ocean of truth. That's our method. And so, the same mantra that Brahma received, we also receive. It's one of the Gayatri mantras, when that lovely day comes for you to receive. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, online.
Question from Divyambara Devidasi. How to become determined and...
How to become determined.
And enthusiastic.
And enthusiastic.
In the process of bhakti.
In the process of bhakti.
As sometimes it looks like endless struggle with the anarthas in the heart.
The how to is apply yourself to the process of bhakti in the association of those who are applying themselves nicely to the process of bhakti. There's no substitute for endeavor to become determined. And there may be obstacles, you remain determined because you want to achieve the result and you have good association. That's how to. You know, those how to questions are, very simply answered. There's one spiritual master, I won't use his name. He didn't have flattering words to say about the how-to questions. I won't repeat what he said. The process of bhakti. And the process of bhakti begins. Adau shraddha tatha sadhu sangha. Then bhajana kriya, that's the bhakti process. And, you know, off you go. With faith, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya. That's how. And then, there's anarthas. And then, so it's the process of rinartha removal. That's how. But be determined. Next.
This one is from Sanchari Dasi Mataji. And she says, Guru Maharaj, it's always been said that when a person comes in contact with devotees, then their spiritual life has begun. Is it limited to meeting a devotee in person, or can it be expanded to those who have served devotees even unknowingly?
Yeah.
How far does the mercy of the devotee of the Lord stretch? I'm thinking that if it is the former, then the whole world has already started their spiritual life. Like even the factory workers who have bottled the Fiji water have indirectly served the devotees.
Yeah. Yeah. This is called agata sukriti, unknowing devotional service. And the more the devotees... That's, us trying to be devotees. The more that the message is, the kirtan and etc., prasadam and books and etc., just moving about and mixing with people. It's a gata sukriti. And accumulation of unknowing devotional service can bring purification, and purification can bring knowingly accepting devotional service. So the answer to her question is yes. Anything else online? Anything else in the room? Yes.
This question is a bit unrelated to the topic.
Okay.
But I was asked this and I wasn't exactly sure how to answer. Because so Krishna is, you know, like all powerful, right? So he doesn't need the demigods. So then why did he create them?
You give him some service. They want some service. And appropriate for their qualification for service, he gives them some service. Same for us.
One question popped up online, and it's from Pooja Singh, and it says, is it that Brahma realized the spiritual abode and the Lord through mantra, the same Brahma got bewildered in the Brahma Vimohan Leela?
Yes.
So, in other words, at one point in one's stages of bhakti, does one no longer get bewildered?
Unless Krishna wants, one doesn't get bewildered. But if Krishna wants, one can easily get bewildered. Even Radha becomes bewildered. Even Krishna becomes bewildered. There's a nice story. Prabhupada wrote in a letter to Atreya Rishi Prabhu, who by profession was an accountant, and he volunteered his service to the temple in New York, and he was shocked to see what he saw in the accounting. He wrote something to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada did two things. He wrote back to Atreya Rishi, the spiritual world is not utopia. Don't expect utopia. He said, even in Krishna's pastimes, when he sees Radha, he becomes bewildered, and he goes into the pasturing ground and starts to milk a bull. So don't expect utopia. Then the other thing he did is he got in the case of the persons who were doing the accounting and the spending. But, you know, he took appropriate action for both parties. More celebrated was the letter because it got published. You can read it. The letter to Atreya Rishi, you find it. Utopia. Something else? Anything else? We're done.
Maharaj, this is about Madhva's not accepting those three chapters.
The people in the room may not be familiar. We were reading in chapter 12 of Canto 10, in the beginning part, there's an extended discussion from our commentators saying some Madhva followers just eliminate three chapters of the Bhagavatam, because they say it's interpolated, it was written later by some people, and so they just dismiss it. So no.
So just to clarify for myself, they dismiss it because they think Lord Brahma cannot be in illusion. Is that?
That's part of it, but they have that. That's my understanding of the spirit behind it. But, you know, there's Sampradaya teaching, Madhva's Sampradaya teaching, that it, in their opinion, from their Sampradaya view, it's a disconnect with Madhva's teaching. There's other parts of it. Because in Brahma's prayers to Krishna, he speaks of putana being delivered. And that rubs against their siddhanta, or their the madhva's teaching, that, you know, a person like putana can't get liberation. And there's so they just discount it. It's against their sampradaya teachings, and they have their rationale for all of that.
I was just wondering, like, do they consider Brahma in the Vishnu Tattva category?
Is that no, they're you know, infallible. Okay. Prabhupada ki.
One question online.
One more question. This last question.
This is from Amit Varma Prabhu. And he's asking, what is Bija Mantra specially?
Could you take your mask off? I can hear your voice better. Thank you.
What is Bija Mantra?
Bija.
Bija,
mantra. Is a bija mantra.
Okay, and
Thim, shrim, hrim, those are bija mantras.
And he's specifically asking the one Brahmaji received from Mother Saraswati before receiving Gopal mantra from Krishna's flute.
No.
Also, is Hare Krishna mantra a bija mantra?
No. The question is phrased incorrectly. The first mantra from Saraswati is called Gopal mantra, and the mantra received from Krishna's flute has a different name. It's escaping me right now. And bija is just the, like we say, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. That's a Vedic mantra. One part of it is the bija, Om. And then there's the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The bija is Om, and it's part of the mantra. So the phraseology is a little mixed up or imprecise. Okay? Hare Krishna, Prabhupada ki jai.